hello and welcome everybody to a very special edition of the Fine Margins World Cup content. It is unfortunately the final episode that we are going to be doing about the World Cup, but fortunately that means that we have the biggest game of them all, the World Cup final on the weekend. Two superpower nations, Argentina, France, taking stage in that one. I'm sure we're all extremely excited for that one. But along the way, we're going to do some other stuff. We're going to cover the semifinals, what we saw over there. We're going to go into a special segment going through the Fine Margins Awards for the tournament, which I'm really excited to go through. And then we're going to briefly touch on the third place match before going, of course, to that grand stage, the World Cup final. To do that, we have Alex and Paul back joining us. And we want to remind you guys that this is presented by the Betfred Sportsbook. Make sure to sign up to the Betfred Sportsbook for the rest of your sports betting needs for this World Cup and all of the sports beyond. Whether you're into NBA, NFL, any sport, get to the Betfred Sportsbook and sign up there for your betting needs. We're going to be looking at the Betfred lines a little bit later on in this video to cover the matches that we want to bet on. So let's dive into those semifinals here. We have a loaded episode. We were talking about how maybe a little bit disappointed not to have some bigger nations involved, but the teams that got there all deserve to be there. First of all, it was Argentina against Croatia, where Argentina took care of business, winning 3-0. Let's go to Paul, first of all, who is still riding on the Argentina outright ticket here. Were there any nerves at all throughout this game, or Argentina comfortable throughout?
Not really, no. I think it was a pretty even game up until the penalty incident, but I don't feel as if that I was ever in much jeopardy. And once it went 2-0, I think that was it. I think Croatia knew at that point that their tired legs weren't going to drag them to yet another comeback. And I think out of all the games in the tournament so far, this is the one where they arguably looked the most blunt in attack. They couldn't bring anything together, and they've been crying out for a centre forward for most of the tournament, one that can hold the ball up and score. And it was never more apparent than the moments where they were trying to get their way back into this match, and it just wasn't happening for them. And we got to see one of the all time great World Cup assists in the process. So, all around a good evening.
It's astonishing, that Messi goal. Just Gvardiol may have been the best defender in this tournament, and Messi made him look like an amateur almost. It's sensational what he can do at 35 years old. Alex, your thoughts on that Argentina match?
Yeah, I mean, Adam says it in the live chat there. This is his World Cup right now. Just another...
Kind of seems like it, yeah.
He's just unstoppable at this rate. I'm not sure how that changes going forward, but it would be great to see him win. It would be absolutely fantastic to see him win. I think, you know, we won out at least in this sense where we were robbed of the Argentina-Brazil semifinal, but we got the Argentina-France final. So, you know, it's going to be a great game. I think that Argentina fully deserving of that. Might have been sort of the most convincing they've looked at any point in this tournament. I think that a lot of that has to do also with the fact of what Paul said. You know, Croatia just... they don't really pose that threat going forward. They haven't really at any point in this tournament. So that was kind of let them off the hook in that sense. But yeah, definitely the most convincing they look, and it looks like they're sort of peaking at the right time.
Yeah, it's such a small sample size of events. When you're finding form like Argentina have here, it bodes really well. They've gone up 2-0 in every single game except for the first one against Saudi Arabia. So they're finding ways to score. They really aren't conceding many goals at all here. They're barely conceding anything to Croatia. They barely concede any chances whatsoever. I will say Croatia did look good up until that penalty, but for a team that has been in this position before, I was a bit surprised by the way they responded to it. There was a play right before the penalty that should have been a Croatian corner. I think that may have dwelled on their mind a little bit to afford the opportunity for the penalty to even happen. And then they were probably still upset about the penalty call. They didn't see it as a penalty. I mean, I don't think any team sees any penalty call against them as a penalty. And in the midst of that, I think that they should have kept that second goal out. It was poor defending. It looked like a pretty good goal because of the poor defending, in my opinion. And Argentina rode that to the end. The penalty was controversial. I will ask you guys, do you think it was a penalty? Let's go to Paul first.
It's not controversial. It's a penalty. To me, it's controversial that people are even talking about the fact that it isn't a penalty. Because it is. I mean... You can't do that. You can't do that on the pitch. And the ball had came out the other side. It was loose. The opportunity could have been available to tap the ball in if he's not cleaned out by the goalkeeper. And I totally respect what people are saying, but goalkeepers have got two decisions to make. I would compare it directly as if If the ball was played around the goalkeeper and he throws his hands out and brings the forward down, it's a penalty, irrespective of where the ball goes next, right? In this case, it doesn't really matter. He's cleaned out. It's a penalty all day long. And I'm quite surprised. we have a referee who sits on the panel at halftime in the UK. And the three pundits, Roy Keane of which was one, all thought it wasn't a penalty. And the referee was saying, no, but it is a penalty. Like, I literally know the rules. It is a penalty. And it was, I felt as if I drifted into some kind of alternate dimension where you've got three guys telling the referee what he thinks it should be. Do you know what I mean?
That's like every match ever.
Yeah. For me, I totally see this building, this messy conspiracy building in places. Oh, they all want him to win it, and they're going to force his way to the final. It's penalties here, penalties there. This one's a penalty. It's cut and dried.
Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's clear cut by the book. It's a foul. Like, I mean, people could, I don't think there's any controversy as to whether it was a penalty or not. Maybe people can say it was a little bit soft, or you can have questions about, you know, where the ball was going, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's a clear foul. He clearly took him down. It would have been stunned if they didn't call it. I think it's impossible to not call that in that situation. Like, just going straight by the rule book, like, that is 100% a penalty.
So the goalie, I mean, I agree it's a penalty. He's obstructing the player clearly. He comes out, he makes the challenge. Maybe he's flat-footed at the time of the contact, but there is very clear contact obstructing the player. Like, if that's not in the box, it's a clear-cut foul anywhere on the field. It's a foul in the box, and to me, that's a penalty. We've Chatter Adams also disagreeing with that, and there's been a lot of discussion about it, but to me, like, the goalie fouls the player. It shouldn't necessarily matter where the ball is. I think, like, if a player is actively, like, putting the ball in an area where he's not even trying to make any sort of play and he's just looking for the foul, that's a different discussion. But, yeah, again, that to me, that is a penalty as well.
I mean,
well,
just so. One more point to that. Did you – England's second penalty, the ball was – the cross that came into the box.
It's good.
He had
good
no
point.
Chance to get on the end of that. But he was
point.
Clearly barged into from behind. It was a foul. It was a penalty. It's the same situation.
Very – very, very good point. It's just goalkeepers looking out for goalkeepers in the chat. So let's move now into the second match here. A lot more entertaining than I thought it would be, especially after France take the lead 4 minutes into the game. Alex, you've been the hottest on Morocco in this tournament, so we'll go to you first of all. France were obviously the big favorites, but how did Morocco fare against the Giants here?
I thought, again, it was a really impressive display from them. I thought they were incredibly unlucky. I thought the scoreline was really flattering for France. They did miss a couple, you know, bigger chances through Giroud early on in the game. But ultimately, like, they didn't create a ton. The goals, both of them had a bit of good fortune to them. You know, some kind of kind bounces. Everyone's going on about that incredible Mbappe assist. I mean, it was the deflection that takes it on the way to the play. So, you know, I don't see what that was all about. I thought Morocco really were able to get stuck in after conceding that early goal. Their response was really impressive. Again, Regraoui just done an incredible job. The way he was able to get them, you know, going forward, they came so close multiple times to getting that goal. Just they couldn't quite get the bounce that France were able to get inside that area. And ultimately, you know, that proved their undoing. But I thought they were also kind of robbed of a penalty in that first half where Buffal walks away with a yellow card somehow.
That was strange.
Hernandez is the one committing to the challenge and taking him down, and I couldn't believe that. I thought I was going crazy because no one was saying anything, and I was like, am I like just do I have my Moroccan glasses on right now? And that's why I'm seeing it this way. And then, you know, I saw Paul tweeted it out, and then I saw a couple of people after that. I was like, okay, so I'm not losing my mind here. That was a penalty. But yeah, I mean, France, their professionalism, their experience carries them through. They're a very tough team to beat. I think that's two games in a row now where I've just been ultimately very unimpressed with them, but it's job done. And it's, you know, that's what the tournament's all about. They're finding ways to win these games. Despite, you know, we talked about it with Morocco, how the sum was greater than the whole was greater than the sum of its parts. I think it's the opposite for France, where the whole is kind of lesser than the sum of its parts, but ultimately they're finding ways to win games, you know, with all that talent. It's not necessarily looking the most convincing, but you know, they're getting it done. And again, just full credit to Morocco. I thought that was one of their better performances, because it showed that, you know, they can play with the best in the world, not just by sitting back and frustrating them, but also by kind of taking the game to them as well.
Yes, yeah, so they obviously looked really good against Belgium. I thought after that first goal went in that this was a game that was going to split wide open. France were going to do them completely, but they looked really, really good. Paul, did you see it the same way?
Yeah, I mean, arguably they played better here than they did in the last two games.
Yeah.
Man for man. probably one of their best performances of the tournament. And it's they can go away proud that they gave a really good team a really hard time of it. And I think France, well, it's reflected in the fact that Deschamps made numerous changes midway through the second half because he knew it wasn't working. He knew to swap things around and then change it up, moving Mbappe central, brought Thuram on the left. That made a real difference in the last 20 minutes. Good in-game management, you've got to say, from Deschamps to kind of change that bit at the end there. But I completely agree with Alex. I thought I was taking crazy pills too. Like, I think the Hernandez incident, what's thrown people is Hernandez actually was in control of the ball first. So he's actually in possession. So people are being confused by the fact that he kicks the ball forward first, then makes the challenge. But to me, that doesn't make any difference. He's out of control. He cleans out Bufal. I mean, fair enough, but how is it a foul on a booking for Bufal? I don't get it. Yeah. Somebody will have to explain that one to me because I really don't understand how they've came to that decision. And a penalty at that point, I think that was just before halftime, or certainly close to halftime, it's game on again. But what I would say is, it did show the limitation that they had in attack. Bufal and Ziyech, we all know that they are extremely gifted players with the ball at their feet. Creatively, they're always in good positions. End product, not always been the best for either of them. And I think that was reflected in the kind of sparse chances they managed to create in the second half, where if the ball breaks a certain way, they may get a better chance. But they really struggled to carve out anything clear. And I think being on the front foot in this match rather than being in the back foot and being able to defend Leeds for most of the tournament, I just think this was a position they didn't really want to be in. They made a fine fist of it, but I think that ultimately the best team went through in the end, and it sets up a nice final for us.
Yeah, I'll briefly touch on Morocco here. I was going to echo the same point as you. The final third play for Morocco just showed the gulf in class here, because when France had the opportunities, they snapped them up. Morocco had some good chances. Couldn't just carve out that clear-cut opportunity to go and win this game despite the very good performance. But no shame in going out to that French team, especially for this Moroccan team. They probably will feel a little bit disappointed given those chances, how well they played. But when it comes down to the World Cup, France, they're world champions for a reason. And that's why they're back in the final over here. Would have been interesting, though, to see, I agree with the comments here, a fully fit Moroccan back line. If Aguerre would have started, if Saïss, who probably should not have started, maybe if he was fully healthy, wonder if the game was different. I still think France win, but just something to consider. So we're going to introduce now a new segment here. We're going to go into our Fine Margins Awards of the Tournament. This is a betting show, so let's take it from a betting perspective now. So going into the final, because if Argentina win tomorrow, that will be the best bet of the tournament for Paul. What has been your best bet of the tournament, and what has been your worst bet of the tournament thus far?
So, obviously, I'm sitting on my Argentina ticket. I'm also sitting on a very small stakes. Argentina to lift the trophy and Messi to be top goal scorer, double, which will pay plus 3,000, I think. There's a fair amount riding on the final for me, where it could be a very good day or a very bad one. But I'll still call those good tickets for now, because they made it all the way to the end of the tournament, and most people's bets never make it this far. So I'll call those good bets. My worst bet is probably, I took a punt on Darwin Nunez to be top scorer. That was a bad play, yeah. Not just because Uruguay were poor, but I thought Nunez himself in the tournament was very poor. The reason why I selected him is because he's got such a high shot percentage and shot ratio at Liverpool, hitting like 4.5 shots per match in the Premier League in the minutes he's played this season. So you always want to take a gamble on a guy like that that's going to try and get in positions and hit plenty of shots. I don't think he was anywhere near that in this tournament. I don't think he even averaged over a shot per game. And I don't know whether it was just being in the shadow of Suarez and Cavani around him, but he just didn't perform. So I took a punt at high odds there, and I got very little return out of that. So yeah, bad bet.
And Alex, we'll go to you. Best bet. I know you had a lot of money on Morocco. I'm sure that's going to be involved. But also, what was the worst bet, would you say, at the tournament for yourself?
Has a lot to choose from, I think. In terms of the best bet, yeah, it would definitely be the Morocco. Just everything Morocco with the, you know, to win the group, to advance, the quarterfinals, semifinals, all that. Worst bet, it's probably a tie between Lautaro Martinez to win the Golden Boot and also to be Argentina's top scorer. I thought he was in an incredible position to have success in this tournament. And, I mean, when you look at how Alvarez has performed, you know, you really think Lautaro should have been in that position and should have been taking advantage, but just absolutely disastrous in front of goal. It started off with that goal being overturned with like, it's like a hair offside in that Saudi Arabia game. And it just, it completely went to shit from there. He's, you know, squandered so many chances and obviously lost his place in the team.
Yep.
And then Denmark, I'd say Denmark to win the group. Yeah. I think they scored one goal. They got 1 point and, you know, to win the group over France, who are sitting here again, you know, in the finals. That's a pretty bad bet.
So
I think for all of us, Serbia as well. Like Serbia.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still a bit sore about that because I've had them marked for months and months that they could go quite far in this tournament if they go out of that group. And just bad decision making, bad coaching, bad play at the wrong times has put them out. I don't really think if they'd have lost 2-0 three times in a row, I would sit here and say, fair enough, bad bet. But they were in every match and they could easily have got through in Switzerland's place. And I think they would have gave Portugal, given the history and given the qualification, would definitely given them a better game in the round of 16. So that's a bit of a pain, that one.
There were a few teams pre-tournament that I was like, I'm sick of betting on this team. And Serbia were one of them, but I was still like, no, this is the manager to get the most out of these players. And that didn't happen. That won't be my worst bet. For best bet, I don't really have like a long shot, any long shot winner on any outright. I didn't really involve myself in a lot of the outright markets. I would say my best bet from a personal standpoint was the fact that like all summer, all leading up to the World Cup, I could not believe the price on Ecuador to beat Qatar. And I kept saying it for months and months. I was saying that game, Ecuador are going to absolutely thump this team for so long. I'm like, I cannot believe you can get one plus 150 on Ecuador. And they took care of business in that first game. So I'll say that's my best bet. And my worst bet, I spent so long before the round of 16 talk about Switzerland don't concede. They're going to give Portugal such a difficult game. And they get thumped 6-1. So that was probably the worst bet for myself there, unfortunately. But again, no outrights really where, other than the Serbia one, where I'm completely dismantled. Next one, let's talk about your favorite match of the tournament. What has been the best match of the tournament for you guys so far, whether it's, you know, drama standpoint, game watching experience, whatever criteria you want to have, your favorite match? Let's go to Alex first of all for this one. Best match of the tournament.
I think this might come across as slightly biased, but I don't think it is. I think that Netherlands Argentina was the best match of this tournament in my opinion. Started with Peter Drury setting the scene with that beautiful monologue to open things off, and then
he's the best, isn't he?
Yeah, if you haven't seen that opening, his opening commentary for that one, you can find that all over TikTok or wherever you want to find that. But yeah, I mean, it just had everything, right? It had just, you know, Messi's brilliance, that beautiful assist to open the game up. It had, you know, obviously the late comeback, but just the feistiness, the tenacity, the intensity, the hate between the teams, the back and forth and penalties. It just, you know, the chances in extra time. It wasn't like at any point this game just hit a lull and you know, nothing was happening. There was, you know, it was back and forth. There was always something going on. There was always, you know, chances happening. And obviously the hate between these two teams, this very strange intercontinental rivalry that has sort of developed. It's a shame that the ref had to kind of ruin things a little bit in that one. But I thought, you know, for 120 minutes plus penalties, this was great to watch.
And Paul, what's your favorite of the tournament?
I think just in terms of pure excitement, there was the end to a lot of those groups was great. I think Uruguay completely losing the plot in the last 5 minutes going out was great. Cameroon Serbia was obviously just the most fun probably game we've had the entire tournament. In terms of pure quality, I think Spain, Germany in the groups and England versus France from a tactical perspective, I think stand out in terms of high levels of quality players on each side. Maybe not the most exciting broad goal scoring opportunities and stuff like that, but I think from a tactical battle perspective, I think it was one of the best we've seen in the tournament. And yeah, you had Spain and Germany playing so well in the group stages, and then neither of those two are going to impact the tournament. And I don't think many people would have said that after those two played that one each draw in the group stages. So from a pure technical standpoint, I really enjoyed those two. But Cameroon Serbia is the kind of match you buy the DVD after the tournament for, just because I like something. Yeah. So, yeah, that one was great.
From a entertainment perspective, I really did enjoy the Korea-Ghana match. I just, the type of goals that were scored were really entertaining, and just the way the group was shifting after every goal, I found that really entertaining. But from like a pure footballing standpoint, I really enjoyed that France-England match as well. That's the match of the tournament for me so far. Just the different styles that were brought, the way the tactics to shift over the course of the game to grab the win. The drama involved, the goals involved, I thought that was a very good match. Next one we'll go to, since we got some time, let's talk about the most disappointing team. And let's skip the best team because I think that's just going to be Morocco for punching so much above their weight. But the most disappointing team of the tournament, how they can respond going into future tournaments.
For me, I would say it's a toss-up between some obvious candidates, but for me, it's got to be Belgium. But I didn't have any bets on them getting out or topping the group or getting out of the group because I didn't rate this team. I think we've discussed on this show that we thought this was a generation too old and perhaps too many players were playing that really shouldn't have been. But I think the general consensus of the general public out there was that this Belgium team was somehow still a force and could do some damage in this tournament. I don't know whether that's mainly built around about De Bruyne, Lukaku being fit potentially, Courtois being a good goalkeeper, but all the other individual elements of the team was a disaster. And I don't think anybody who watched them or any of those players recently would have said that that team had much of a chance going forward. But from a general consensus standpoint, considering I think they were still number two or three in the world or something like that in the rankings coming into the tournament, I think that's a massive disappointment. And I don't think they played well for any spell of the tournament. Maybe the last 30 minutes against Croatia when they had some chances with Lukaku, but other than that, a huge letdown.
I think this is the golden generation of the Belgian of Belgian soccer, definitely. And sure, there are some young players coming in, but I don't know if they're going to ever have a squad as good as this for a good amount of time. I think they will look back upon this era very regrettably, having only given Roberto Martinez the opportunity to manage it. I get that he did like just consistently just enough to keep the job and qualification. They steamrolled every team, won every game, but it just feels like when it came down to the massive quarterfinals, semifinals of these tournaments, something was a little bit off there. And I think that will be a regret for them. Alex, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Belgium were up there, but I was fairly down on them coming into the tournament. So I guess I wouldn't say them. I do think their future is still fairly bright, though. When you look at like a lot of the young guys like Onana, Doku, Bakayoko on PSV. They have a lot of very good young players sort of coming up through the ranks that, you know, maybe they'll still find a way here to be relevant again, you know, even by the next Euros or next World Cup. I think they'll still be a very good team. For me, I think the most disappointing was Denmark. It was just such an embarrassing tournament for them. They had one chance in that first match. And other than that, I think that like they went, 270 minutes and they never looked like scoring at any point in that. They were fortunate to get that one off the set piece against France and then conceded shortly after again to lose that game. They were horrid this tournament. They need to get some in-form attackers. I talked about that going into the tournament, how that my one small concern was that, you know, they didn't have anyone in attack that was playing, you know, sort of in-form right now to bag goals. That's bagging goals at the club level. And I didn't even take my own advice. I thought that, you know, this team just plays so well together that they'll find a way to get, you know, to get some goals. And that was not the case whatsoever. I think they need to, whoever it is, they need to find a way to get these guys some minutes at the club level or find some guys that are going to come up and get them some goals. Cause that's their biggest issue right now. You can't rely on, you know, the likes of Dolberg and Braithwaite. It's just not happening.
So Belgium is definitely going to be mine, but just for the sake of throwing in some other ones, I don't want to make it Germany. Cause honestly, I felt like they played well in all three games. It's very unfortunate that they also didn't get out of the group at the previous World Cup. And this just kind of compounds onto that disappointment there. I thought they were relatively unlucky, though. Disappointing. I mean, Serbia, we were all high on that team. They played three decent matches here, but they left that group with 1 point. And this was maybe not quite a dark horse, but they really had a squad that could have made some waves, get to at least the quarterfinal of this tournament. So I think they have the right to be quite disappointed with the output. Final thing I want to touch on, individual awards. As we go into the final two matches, who do you think has been and will receive the Golden Glove? A bit of a debate going on in the comments section. And who do you think has been the player of the tournament? If it's obviously one guy, we can also talk about some other people who deserve praise. So let's go to Paul, first of all. Goalkeeper of the tournament, player of the tournament.
Yeah, I think you can still get Livakovic at a pretty decent price on the exchange to win the Golden Glove. Considering what he did in a couple of shootouts, I'd be very surprised if that's overlooked. And yeah, his team lost 3-0 in the semi, but couldn't really blame him for any of the goals, really. I mean, I know he gave away the penalty, but it was just a match incident. So I'd be surprised if he's not keeper of the tournament. And I'm surprised if he doesn't potentially pick himself up a big move off the back of this. So he'd be my pick for that. Player of the tournament, I want to avoid the kind of the main ones like Messi, obviously, Mbappe. I mean, you've got to say, like, even Alex had Martinez to be top scorer. I think Alex's logic behind that was correct, but I think he's picked the wrong guy. I think Alvarez could be the breakout star of this tournament, who could go on to become not the Messi of the next generation, but certainly the forward that takes Argentina forward in more tournaments. I think what he's had to do and step up and come on in difficult parts of games, because it's not like he's been thrown on in the third match and they've already been through, but he's bagged a couple of goals. He's been there at clutch moments because they were up against it from the very first match. And he's absolutely stepped up into the gap where Martinez was seriously found wanting and taken a massive strain off Messi in the process. And I think we'll get to this in a little minute, but I think the final could be won or lost based on not only Messi's performance, but Alvarez's performance on the weekend. I think he's been really, really good. And I think Guardiola and City have unearthed another really, really good player there.
I am just sick to my stomach that this guy is sitting on City's bench. Like, in the fact that they are so good that this guy barely gets a sniff because they've got the big Norwegian guy on their team as well. It is mad how well he's playing, yet he doesn't crack the City starting 11. And yeah, I have the Man United jersey down here. I'm sick to my stomach about how good that City's team is. I'm actually astonished right now. I'm looking at the odds. You can get Livakovic plus 600 to win the Golden Glove. Now, I think this should be pretty much a toss-up between himself and Yassin Bono over here. Like, I think it could go to either of them, would make sense. I don't know if I'm missing something, but I am genuinely confused how Livakovic, that plus 600, he had that great game against Brazil, albeit there weren't any phenomenal saves, but he made a bunch of them. He won two penalty shootouts. From a value perspective, Alex, can you convince me off of Livakovic at plus 600 here?
I think giving up the penalty is going to just be a little bit too much to overcome. I don't think it should be, but I think that's why the price is sort of being reflected this way. But I mean, you could say, I think to me, Bonu has, you know, has maybe not had the same accolades in terms of he hasn't made as many saves as Livakovic, but obviously he had that shootout where he did not allow a single goal. And then, you know, I think the command of his area has been really excellent. You know, he's been very good at he's been very good in that regard. You know, he's been very vocal with his defenders and, you know, the communication there and everything, if that's all factored in or not. But I mean, I think that is a good price on him. You know, if you want to take a stab at it, for me, I think the biggest threat to Bono right now is Emi Martinez. Cause if he has a very good final and he gets a clean sheet there, I mean, I think he's deserving of it because that penalty shootout against the Netherlands, and he's made some big saves and some key moments in this tournament that have really helped them out of some tough spots.
And your player of the tournament, do you think it just has to be Messi or anybody else who can challenge him for that?
It has to be Messi. So I'm not going to talk him to death. We know how great he's been.
Big favorite, by the way.
Yeah. For me, other players that have been super impressive that won't necessarily win this award, that maybe haven't gotten their due respect, obviously Mbappe has with the goals, and Alvarez too, you know, Giroud. But I think Griezmann's been really incredible for this France team. He has not scored much, but, you know, his movement, his passing, you know, his positioning, everything has just unlocked the key to a lot of defenses. He's been very key to that. And Amrabat as well. I think that guy's ran twice as much as anyone else in this tournament. He's just been all over the pitch. He's played, I think, every minute of every game for them. And he's been, just like one of the most impressive midfielders for sure with his work rate and, you know, his ability both on and off the ball.
So my comments for the goalkeeper of the tournament here, and, you know, there's the thing, Livakovic made more saves. But I like the best goalie in the world can make zero saves and be the best goalkeeper in the world. It's the way they command the area. Sometimes the goalkeeper doing something results in no shot happening, whether he's the one coming out and challenging and making clearance, whether he's claiming crosses. All of that is just as important as making those saves. And a good example of that was when Liverpool signed Alisson. They went from Karius to Alisson. Obviously, there were the errors involved with Karius, but it wasn't as if Alisson was all of a sudden making these stunning saves that were causing Liverpool to be the dominant force in Europe that season. It was the fact that he was such a good organizer at the back, and he didn't have to make all those saves because he was better at coming out, better at claiming crosses, and that can make such a huge difference for a team. So I think that also, from a goalkeeper standpoint, needs to be respected. As far as the player of the tournament, this is another strange one here. I think if France win this game, and it's pretty much 50-50 on the odds, you'll see in a second here, I think Mbappe is more than capable of winning this award here, especially if France win. If Argentina win, it's over. Messi has that award. I think plus 450 seems a little bit too far on Mbappe. I did not think it'd be that wide. I don't know if you guys agree there. Unsung heroes, though. Griezmann, I really thought he was washed coming into this tournament. He's been outstanding, and he's what's really allowing this France midfield to tick, and not just from an offensive standpoint in possession, but defensively, the work that he's doing. Like, you just don't really see this side of Griezmann typically, so he's been doing an outstanding job. And another player I want to shout out is Sofyan Amrabat, who was just absolutely outstanding this tournament. Fiorentina owners are just rubbing their hands going into the January transfer market, because they are going to get, I think, a ton of money for this player, because the engine that he has, he just allows this Moroccan team to hum in possession. Defensively, he's everywhere. Just what a player and what a tournament he's had, and full credit to him for any sort of move he gets away from Fiorentina there. But just the minus 500 on Messi, I just want to go to both of you guys quickly. Do you think that price is justified? Or do you feel like there's a bit of value in taking a French player if they can win this game? Let's go to Paul first.
When you brought those odds up there, mate, the first thing that I thought was, are we going to have potentially Messi winning two golden balls and playing in two finals and not actually winning the World Cup?
Yeah.
And that would play into my psychology of this betting process here, because the FIFA really wanted to hand him an award like that again, to watch him hold it so miserably like he did in 2014. I think if there's any possible way to give it to Mbappe or Griezmann, I think they might try. Because I think they learned the lesson from 2014 in that scenario where the guy from the losing team wins the... and it happened with Modric as well last time. I think in those cases, I think you could make the play that maybe Mbappe could have won it last time as well, or Kante or Pogba. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit too much, but I do feel like if Mbappe turns it on and at least scores one in the final, if I'm of the opinion that I think France could do it, I'd be taking a little nibble at those odds for sure.
Interesting. Alex, are you in agreement?
I think Messi's going to win. I do think he's going to win it no matter what happens in this final. He's just been so much better than any other player. Every single game, he stamped his name on it. So I just can't see him not winning. But if you're going to take a stab with the player on France, for me, it would be Griezmann. I think Mbappe's really been sort of held out of these last two games. And, you know, he didn't play in the Tunisia game as well, which could hurt him. So I think I'd rather take a shot with Griezmann here than with Mbappe. But again, Mbappe scores two goals and France wins 2-0, then, you know, I look like the idiot. So
so few interesting long shots in those outright markets there. Those are ones we'll monitor. But let's move into the big games now. Let's go into the not-so-big game, the third-place match. Personally, I don't really understand why this is still a thing. I don't know how much people care about this. Nonetheless, it is a game. You can bet on it. Croatia are plus 135, Morocco plus 205. From the opening markets, I believe there's been a little bit of a buyback on this Moroccan team here. But, Paul, difficult lineup-wise. Like, you don't know who's going to play in this game. I think that's the most difficult part. But there any way you can take this on from a betting perspective on Thursday here?
Oh, tough one. Usually you would set this play, I would say. But just as a value play, maybe look at some goals here. Completely mixed up teams, some guys with some stuff to prove. There could be a lot of Croatians who are looking at that midfield, maybe potentially Modric, and seeing themselves available for a position there in the future to hold that slot down. There's also like options up top for Croatia over the next couple of years. None of the forwards have done it. There could be a few players there trying to prove a point. Morocco, I mean, they're already the walking wounded, so they might have to swap out their entire team and might just play complete reserves. Just to give everyone an experience of this tournament, I think that would be something that's definitely on the coaching team's minds. Like, unforgettable experience to say that you at least played a minute in the tournament where Morocco got to the latter stages. I mean, I have heard a couple of people saying that finishing third would be a big deal for both of these teams, just to say we were the third best team in the world that year. I'm not as convinced by that. But if I was to take a betting play, I'd definitely look at goals, whether it's both teams to score, whether it's over a certain amount of goals, just because the teams are going to be completely completely changed up, and it could be literally any. It could literally be like a bounce game or something like that. This one, I think. So yeah, I'd probably go goals here.
You bring up a good point about teams like they want to finish third. A point I'll also rebuttal with that is that Turkey finished third in 2002. Nobody thinks about that. Wow, that Turkish team finished third. They think about that Turkish team made the semifinals.
Yeah, they do.
So I don't think there's much draw to finishing third at the World Cup. I think it will be an opportunity for both managers, maybe more specifically the Moroccan manager, to just get players out there and just give them minutes at a World Cup. That would be a big deal to those players, 100%. So if you're gambling on this game, you're gambling on team news at this point. Alex, is there any way you want to approach this?
I think there are two things that you have to consider here. Is that one, I think this, it's very narrative-y, and you know, you can't necessarily quantify this and say it surely, but I think that Morocco will care a lot more about this than Croatia. Croatia were just in the final in 2018. You know, this is, it's a tough pill to swallow for them. For them, I think they're just eager to get home at this point. They don't want to be in this game whatsoever. Whereas Morocco, I mean, this has been their tournament. This is, you know, they're still going to have all that fan support there. This is going to be a really big opportunity for them still. I mean, they were the first African team to ever reach the semifinals. They can be the first, you know, African team to finish on the podium, so to speak, right? So I think that they're going to care a lot more about this one than Croatia will. So I think taking some stabs on them, you know, whether it's draw no bet or just going outright for that, you know, that plus 205 on the money line. I do agree that I think that there could be a lot of goals in this, though, too. For one, you're probably not going to have Aguero. You're probably not going to have Saïss. You're probably not going to have Mizrahi, right? So you're going to have some of those defenders out. I wouldn't be surprised if Gvardiol, who's now being talked about for a move, sits as well. A lot of these good defenders are probably going to sit. I think we're going to see, you know, these defenses not as much familiarity there. And I think both teams are just going to play a bit more loose. You know, Morocco aren't going to sit back and try and, you know, invite Croatia to break them down. They're going to have a go at it. They're going to have some fun, try and get some goals. And, you know, whether that actually translates to goals on the scoreboard is one thing, you know, is another thing. But I do think that it'll be a bit more of an open game, which we could lead to some goals for sure.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I'd go over personally. Like, I just can't advocate betting on this game especially before team news is out. I plan a lot of my schedule around World Cup games. This one is, I don't even think this is one I'm going to end up watching. I have a pretty busy Saturday. Respectfully, this just, like, I don't think this game should exist anymore. I just think once you lose the semifinal, that should be your tournament over. I don't know. You guys might agree, but let's get to what everybody is waiting for: the World Cup final, a possibly classic affair between two nations that are historic to this World Cup event. Both have won the tournament twice. I'm trying to right now to think of any time they would have matched up. I can't recall in my lifetime these two ever. Previous World Cup, they played each other. What am I saying? In 2018, France ran over that Argentinian team. It wasn't it ended 4-3. I felt like France were quite dominant in that game. Argentina scored late to make it 4-3, and they needed a Di Maria wonder goal. There's just so much. You know what? That was a World Cup classic. It was 4-3. The Pavard goal, the Di Maria goal.
It was a Pavard wonder goal, too, yeah.
The Mbappe penalty that he won when he ran by the whole team, and Otamendi looked like he was 50 years old trying to chase after him, I think it was. So another classic affair potentially on the cards, and betting markets have no idea how to respond. It is dead even. Almost everywhere I look, it has been 50-50. It's plus 180 on Argentina, plus 180 on France, plus 200 on the draw. To lift the trophy is actually slightly favoring France here. Honestly, I thought it would be just a touch more in favor of France, but with so much on the line, I can see why it is the way it is. Paul, the difficult task. You have a lot already riding on this match, so I can understand if you're just going to let those outrights go, but any way you are going to approach this one, betting-wise?
Obviously, there's two angles here. There's the betting on what I want to happen. This is what I think may happen.
Yes.
Covering myself, obviously, for my two lines. I guess the only main angle I can take there is to win, to cover myself with some money on France to win the trophy at minus 115 there, which would, it still wouldn't make me a happy person at the end of the game, but it would soften the blow a little bit. So I will be looking at those markets just to kind of offset some losses or wins if it comes up. So that's what I will probably bet on. What I think will happen, though, is I do think Argentina's destiny is to win this trophy. I really do. The narrative, the story being told here for Messi, you probably couldn't write it. It's pretty amazing. Like, honestly, after that Saudi Arabia game, I basically tore up my ticket there and then. I didn't think they would get
I remember your reaction to it. I remember.
Yeah. Just the kind of the totally inert nature of that performance. Like, they were absolutely shell-shocked by Saudi Arabia. And the funny thing is, like, it'll probably be forgotten in the post-tournament discussion, but that aftershock went all the way into 60 minutes into the Mexico game. They did not string two passes together in the first hour of that game. They were equally bad. And it was only because they faced a quite obdurate Mexico who lacked any kind of attacking ability of their own that it ultimately worked out well for them in the end. Obviously, with Messi's genius as well. So they are a different team now from the one that started the tournament. Like I say, I still think with Scaloni, it's been luck rather than judgment sometimes. I think he's shuffled it around. I think he's been forced to at times to make changes. I think he's put people in there and it's just worked for him. Whether he was sure it was going to work or not is another story. But he's stumbled into Alvarez now. He's got Fernandez in midfield. Di Maria looks to be fit. Messi's obviously on fire. The destiny is there, right in his grasp. It would be somewhat cruel of the soccer gods to take this one off him at this point, would it not? But that being said, I still think it could go pretty deep. I think they could stretch this one out all the way because I can agree with the odds here. I do think these teams are pretty evenly matched. I think France, on their day, are better than Argentina, but how France have performed in the last two matches, how Mbappe's performed in the last two matches, gives teams a chance against them. And when Mbappe's playing like the way he has in the last two games, he's a hindrance rather than a help to this team. He offers absolutely nothing going backwards at all. In fact, I saw some stats today about how he's one of the players that's sprinted the least in the opposite direction to his goal in the entire tournament by some distance, right? He likes to stay in his position. He likes to know that he's a superstar now. And most of the time, you can let him get away with it because he's world-class. But he's not offering much in the last two games. Granted, if you want to give him that assist the other night, but that was his one bright spark in a game where he really didn't do much again. So if you catch France and Mbappe like they have been in the last two match days, and you've got the talent to attack them yourself like Argentina have, I think they can go and do it. So I do think Argentina to lift the trophy would be my destiny bet if I didn't already have my tickets running. So I think Argentina will do it.
Paul, I fear it might be a little bit too much of the heart going into this bet here. I can really tell how much you want this from Messi. You've been covering La Liga, covering Barcelona for quite some time, and this would really be the crowning achievement of an illustrious career that really you can't take away from his legacy, no matter the result of this match, but what it does for him if he does win this and what it does for the nation as well. I think what Argentina have done this tournament is that they've always been completely spoiled for choice in like their front three, front four. This tournament, they've just really found a good blend of players who are going to fight on both sides of the ball, whether it's off in possession or in defense. And they've really just allowed Messi to have that free role up top with Alvarez. And you know, you're finally getting a goal scorer alongside Messi for him to play with an Alvarez who's been doing so well in this tournament we talked about. And you can tell the players want to win this for Messi as well, and they are showing it every performance. Alex, any sort of way you can approach this from a betting perspective?
You guys covered this perfectly in terms of the matchup. I completely agree about, you know, Messi and the destiny right now. I really hope that is the case at least. I think that Argentina have progressed and gotten better as the tournament have gone on, where France have just sort of been a little bit more stagnant. And I think that, you know, France have that know-how, they have the ability to win, but I think that we've seen a little bit more from Argentina and the way they're trending right now, it just feels like they are the right side in this one. But for me, I think that the total isn't properly priced. I think there will be some goals in this. I know finals can be a bit more tense and stuff. It wasn't the case in 2018, obviously, but I think that we can see some goals here. I think both defenses have looked vulnerable. Morocco weren't able to take advantage, but they were given a lot of space. They were able to create space pretty easily on the flanks with that, that link up play out wide, also through the middle, England, it was the same thing, Lloris was fantastic, but France's defense have looked very vulnerable. They've shown that they can be broken down. If teams are, willing to, take that initiative, and obviously Argentina are going to take that initiative, and with two incredibly informed players right now in Messi and Alvarez, and the way Fernandez is playing, McAllister, I think that they're gonna be able to get their goals in this one. And then the same thing can be said about France going forward. Obviously, Croatia weren't able to threaten, but I think that's more of a a testament to what Croatia has to offer going forward than it is to Argentina's defense. Outside of that, Argentina have looked very vulnerable at times too against Australia, Netherlands, and, you know, France are fully capable of taking advantage. So I think both teams to score in this one for sure. And, you know, if you can get a flat two on the over, you know, a little bit juiced, maybe 115, 120. I like that quite a bit. I think that, you know, we could easily see 1-1 into extra time here, but, you know, I think we could definitely get the that 2-1, you know, maybe even a 3-1 with a team, you know, trying to equalize late and, you know, they get burned on the counter.
I understand where you're coming from. I think that maybe previous finals are playing onto my mind here. It's always so cagey. Teams would rather not lose and go and win the game. And Argentina, like, yeah, the Netherlands scored twice late after throwing everything in the kitchen sink at them and a freak foul and free kick in the 100th minute. Australia scored a freak goal to make it 2-1. But other than that, like, they didn't really offer much. It was just that goal shell-shocked Argentina and just made them kind of play on their heels a bit. But I really am confident in this Argentinian defense. France have looked a little bit shaky. I don't know if I can play the under. There's just no way I can play the over here. If I had to approach this, I would go for an Argentina to lift a trophy here. I know that contrasts what I was saying earlier about thinking France would be the favorite, but I don't think I can really bet this one from just a mathematical standpoint how I usually like to bet. I probably will just bet into the narrative of Lionel Messi's crowning moment here. Maybe not the best thing for a show for the Hammer Betting Network, but this is one of like core memories every time there's a World Cup final. So I'll probably just look for some fun on to win the trophy market. To finish off, let's answer some questions here. An interesting question from Adam. Not sure if you guys talked about it, but if Benzema is available, which there are suggestions he could come back to France, let's just imagine tomorrow Benzema's on the plane, he's back to Qatar. Do you give any sort of thought into starting him or as an impact sub if you're down 1-0 late? Not at all.
Yeah, not at all. No. If you're down like 2-0 maybe, and you know it's like the 80th minute and you've seen him in training and he looks good, you know, he looks okay. Like, that's maybe the only situation I'd even consider it. Yeah. But no chance I'm starting him. No chance I'm bringing him on in the second half in a tight game. Just, there's no way.
Hey, from this perspective as well, like, Deschamps would be crucified if he played him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about how well Benzema is liked in the dressing room and how much the other players respond to him being there. Some think that he shouldn't be there at all. If you look at the cold hard facts, the last tournament he didn't play in was 2018, and they won it. And then he plays it, he comes back at the Euros, and they don't win it. And now all of a sudden, he's not in the team, and they're looking great again. That is also something that would play in Deschamps' mind. And also, Giroud is the all-time record scorer now, right?
But he's a good player. Also,
let's not forget, there's some incredible narratives on the French side here as well. Like, if Giroud pops up and bangs a header and then wins the World Cup at 36 or whatever he is, that would be an absolutely astonishing story for a guy who's had to work extremely hard every single day of his career just to get recognised and to get some respect, quite frankly.
Don't know why. He's just always scored and always won everywhere he's gone.
But like, if Deschamps wasn't going to drop him in 2018 when he didn't have a shot on target, he's certainly not going to leave him out of this game when he's been in form. So yeah.
I could, if they're like down late, maybe, but definitely not the start there. Giroud has never played for any club I've supported. Far from it. I am such a fan of Giroud because he's just so unsung. He's just always there scoring goals, always there great in build-up play. And he's always just, teams are always trying to replace him. Clubs are always like Arsenal tried to replace him. They couldn't find a striker as good as him. Then Chelsea spent millions and millions on all these strikers who just scored less than he did when he was the starting striker. In the Europa League, when Chelsea won, he played every game, was top scorer. Hazard barely played in the tournament, only played in the final. And he won player of the tournament when he completely stole it off Giroud. And I don't like Chelsea, but it's just like everywhere he's gone, so unsung. So, yeah, I can attest to that one as well. Another question here, and this will be the last one. Do you have any idea when the awards are voted on? I actually don't know. Do you guys have any information regarding that? Because that could also factor into your handicap on betting those outright markets.
Go ahead, Paul.
I think Messi got his after the final. I think it's awarded after the final for the Golden Ball, I'm sure.
I did read that it's voted on before the final, though, which obviously at this point, if that is the case, then it's messy no matter what, because the whole like wanting to hand it to him if he loses is just out of the question. I was not able to confirm that. FIFA, in classic FIFA fashion, a little bit short on info available for this. But yeah, I mean, obviously if that is the case, which I have read a few places now unconfirmed that is the case, then, it's 100% going to Messi here, obviously.
Yeah. That'd be nuts, man. But I mean, imagine what if Mbappe scores a hat trick?
I know, it's insane.
That'd be,
that's strange. I also need to look, I'm planning on betting Griezmann and Mbappe, but either one, maybe both, to win that award just because of the price on that. But I will have to do my research on that one before that. But that is it from us. That has been your World Cup final preview on Fine Margins. This is the final episode of our World Cup content. Because it's the final episode, I want to thank everybody who has tuned in and watched any of the content over the course of the World Cup. I have had a great time covering the World Cup with my colleagues. I hope they have had a good time as well, Alex and Paul. Thank you to Alex for being on every single episode that he has done. Thank you so much to Paul for really coming in every time that he has been able to, staying up late. It's past 10 p.m. in England. We'll let him go in just a second here and get to bed or whatever. But thank you to everybody for watching the content. Thank you so much to Betfred for sponsoring our content. Remember to sign up to the Betfred Sportsbook for all of your sports betting needs for the rest of the World Cup and beyond. But if you want more betting content after the World Cup, visit thehammer.bet. We can go to NFL, NBA, college football, college basketball, any sport you like, you're likely to find some sort of content on thehammer.bet for yourself. But if you want the soccer content, we have used this as a platform to really build up our soccer platform, our soccer community once again, and we are hoping in the new year to relaunch the soccer betting content in a big way, and we want to have you guys involved. So make sure you are subscribed to the Fine Margins channel for more things on the way ahead, and we are very, very excited for what is in store for the future. Let's see what happens. I'm so excited for the final. I'm sad that it's over, but it is the big game, and we're very excited here. Let's just, one last thing, pick your winner and method of victory, as we've done in many episodes. Paul, winner and method of victory.
I think Argentina will win in 90 minutes.
Alex, your pick.
I will say Argentina win 2-1 in extra time.
Okay, I'm going Argentina on penalties. Emi Martinez saves the fifth penalty taken by Kylian Mbappe, and he just lights the world on fire. That is my pick after a 1-1 first 90 scoreless extra time. Very specific again. I'll be a genius and I'll clip it if it does come true. But thank you again, everybody. Let's see how it all plays out, but we hope you join us soon for more soccer betting content.